I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest, Ralph White, is co-founder of the New York Open Center, America's leading urban institute of holistic learning, where his current role is creative director. The Open Center receives almost 60,000 visitors annually. He is an international speaker on spirituality, consciousness, the history of the Western tradition, and is also editor of the Academy Award Lapis magazine. He taught the first fully accredited courses in holistic thinking and learning at New York University. For many years, he wrote the Open Center catalog and has since edited and introduced the Rosicrucian Enlightenment Revisited in 1999, contributed to What Does It Mean to Be Human, edited by Frederick Franz in 2000, and wrote the foreword to The Way of the Wanderers by David Yeader in 2001. His story, A Walk on the Wild Side of Tibet, was published in Tibet, True Stories in 2003. He has also written for the Huffington Post and contributed articles for a network of local magazines, reaching an audience of 250,000 people. He was born in Wales, and after completing a degree in American Studies at the University of Sussex, he came to the United States in 1970 as a Fulbright Scholar. He was Program Director of Omega Institute for Holistic Studies in Rhinebeck, New York in the early 80s, and lectured in the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, Russia, and Poland. He has also organized many major national and international conferences on a broad range of spiritual and alternative themes. He has made numerous appearances on radio and television in the United States and internationally, including National Public Radio, the BBC World Service, Voice of America, CBS Night Watch with Charlie Rose, Raw TV in Italy, a broad variety of New York television and radio stations, Greek and Russian television, and Polish and Czech radio. He currently hosts a program on WBAL FM radio in New York City, where he interviews many of the major figures in the holistic world and numerous scholars in the field of multicultural mysticism and ecology. Further information can be found at www.ralphwhite.net. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Ralph, and I look forward to hearing about holistic learning and the centers that you have founded. Now, first, you are the author of the memoir, The Jeweled Highway, On the Quest for a Life of Meaning. Can you tell us about this?
Yes, well, it really tells the story of my own personal quest for meaning, my spiritual quest, you might say, from growing up in the Celtic world and then in the industrial north of England, coming to America, my own vision quest to places like Machu Picchu in my early 20s, and then really being involved a bit. The first part of the book is The Quest, the middle part is called The Work, and that's concerned with founding or co-founding, playing a significant role at three significant holistic learning centers. I was with the Findhorn Foundation up in northern Scotland, today in Echo Village, in a thriving holistic education center up in the Morayshire in Scotland. Wasn't involved in founding that. That had already been going for some time when I got there in the mid-70s. But that was a deep and powerful experience. Then really beginning Omega Institute for Holistic Studies, it running its first two summer programs up on an old summer camp in Rhinebeck, about an hour and a half north of New York City, and then starting from scratch, really, founding with somebody else the New York Open Center in Manhattan that has for the last 32 years been New York's leading center of holistic learning and world culture. So that's the middle part of the book, and then the latter part is my own personal spiritual quest, more to do with the Western esoteric tradition and the work of Rudolf Steiner. So, yeah, that's a quick overview of the Jeweled Highway.
Steiner is big in Germany, if I remember right, from when I was
traveling. Yes, well, there are more Waldorf schools. You know, that's one of his major legacies, the Waldorf schools. They're all over the world now, growing like wildfire, or spreading like wildfire in China right now, of all places. Mm-hmm. Hundreds opening every year. And but big everywhere else in the world, too. Holland, Germany, Austria, and increasingly in the U.S. as well, including entering public education. So, yes, he is. And, of course, people think of Rudolf Steiner in relationship to biodynamic agriculture as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, a man who left an extraordinary holistic legacy, but was a very deep spiritual thinker.
Now, you mentioned that you have been involved in the holistic movement for over four decades. And
yes,
what brought you into this?
Well, it was my own yearning for a deeper sense of meaning and engagement with the world. You know, I sort of grew up as a alienated teenage existentialist in the north of England. And it was only really through an awakening I had, should we say, a more spiritual and holistic awakening in the West, in New Mexico, in Arizona, then living in the Andes for a long time, for over a year. For me, I've always been very attuned to the world of nature, so there was a certain spiritual opening that happened in me. And after spending months in the Andes, coming down again to sea level, seeing Western industrial civilization again, it became very clear to me, this was back in my early 20s, that we needed to create an alternative to just the consumerist, exploitative economies that we have that are destroying planetary biosphere and that are really deeply damaging our souls, too. So that's what led me to feel like I wanted to devote my life to creating a more holistic, ecological, and spiritual future for all of us. So that's what led me into the holistic movement, if we can call it that, even though it's not being organized. It's a spontaneous, autonomous thing that's happening all over the world. And that's what really led me into working with these centers, and now the whole global network of holistic centers that I've been continue to be involved with, where we meet annually. And yes, because these places, these centers are really, they're sort of powerhouses. They're vehicles for change. We need, of course, writers and lecturers and all of that media, but we have to be centers, too, where people come and hear people in person, where they meet others of like mind, where new holistic initiatives can form. So that's what brought me into it.
Now, you mentioned, Ralph, the three learning centers that you founded or co-founded, and how would you compare these experiences of the three centers?
Yes, well, I imagine a fair number of our listeners would be familiar with Findhorn up there in the north of Scotland that has been going on now since 1962. Interestingly enough, it began the same year as Esalen Institute back out there in California in Big Sur. Although they're different, but they do complementary work. But the Findhorn, when I was there in the 70s, it was a community. It was primarily a spiritual community, an alternative spiritual community. And its primary practice was attunement to harmony with nature and seeing how human beings could really live together. It developed its learning aspect, its workshops and programs and conferences a bit later. Whereas Omega Institute up in Rhinebeck, New York, has always been a place that has been primarily about workshops, lectures, teaching people about all the different approaches to holistic learning, whether it's wellness and health with the body, or whether it's personal growth psychologically, or if it's to do with spiritual and contemplative and mystical practices, or the arts, or social and environmental transformation. So, and you know, the Open Center, which I co-founded then and has been going since January of 1984, because the conventional wisdom in those days in New York was get out of here, this is New York, this is the real world, you know, maybe that stuff will work in California. But the Open Center, you know, it's right in the thick of the city. So you go to somewhere like Findhorn Omega, people can have wonderful transformational experiences, but then it's, oh, well, I've got to go back to the city, to the real world. The Open Center has been in the real world from day one. So it's the goal at the Open Center has been to bring these holistic perspectives right into the heart of the contemporary world. And so, you know, the Open Center is non-residential. It draws on the 16 million people within a one-hour radius of Midtown Manhattan. And it does a lot of now of conferences, trainings, because, of course, the whole holistic way of seeing things is moving much closer to the mainstream than it used to be 30 years ago. So more and more trainings to give people the background and the qualifications, the certificates mm-hmm. they need to go out and actually work in this field in the world.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that a lot of people that want to participate are not really holistic? And the reason I'm asking this is I find in my show so many of the people have very great ideas, but they're not really what I call holistic. And a lot of times I tell my listeners it's up to them to put it together, but I will give you the framework for doing that. And so maybe it depends on what your definition is of holism that makes a difference.
Yes, I missed the first part of your question there. Could you just say that?
Wondering if you find a lot of people that want to be involved in your holistic centers are not really holistic, but they have very good ideas.
Yes, well, I think, you know, a lot of people are drawn to this work, but, you know, many people are just starting out on it. They might want to come and work in a position at the Open Center or I would imagine, at Omega
mm-hmm.
or many of the other centers. But, you know, just the process of working there or volunteering there
mm-hmm.
Can be educational in itself. I think, you know, everybody has to start somewhere. We're all at different stages along the path. And I think just working or just attending programs at these centers, I think it's instrumental in moving people along from wherever they are, even if they just have ideas about it and they're curious, or even if they've been into it for 20 or 30 years, we can all learn something
mm-hmm.
from each other if the teaching is of good quality and taught with goodwill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Good. And how do you see the present state of our culture in terms of their awareness of holistic, ecological, and spiritual values?
Well, you know, I think we're a long way from being where we need to be. I think we've all got our work cut out
mm-hmm.
for the rest of our lives to continue with this change. So, you know, there are many regressive tendencies in this world, difficult things towards excessive consumerism and exploitation of the planet and intense materialism, you know, and inappropriate forms of excessive nationalism and so on. But even though you've got those backward thrusts, you can also see that the more holistic way of seeing things is moving more and more into that mainstream culture. And I think that gives us a lot of reason for hope. In the sense that, you know, when the Open Center began 30 years ago, nobody imagined that the little mom-and-pop health food stores that were in little holes in the wall at that time in
mm-hmm.
the city that would morph, and now Whole Foods would, you know, offering natural
mm-hmm.
foods would be far and away the biggest grocery store in New York City, or in Manhattan anyway. Nobody would imagine that yoga would now be there. There's a yoga center on every fifth or street corner, it sometimes
mm-hmm.
seems, in Manhattan. Nobody would have imagined that. 30 years ago, mindfulness meditation was often dismissed as a fancy term for sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got mindful meditation everywhere, in schools, in businesses. Maybe it isn't always used in the most
mm-hmm.
valuable way, but it just to take those examples there, And, of course, alternative, holistic, or integrative medicine has come a huge way from it being dismissed 30 years ago. The New York Times was writing regular editorials dismissing it all as snake oil. And I think now we can see that it's an integral part. We need the high-tech medicine, yes, for certain things, but we need the more natural, holistic, complementary approach to healing, too. So I think we do see a major, major transition. It tends to go under the radar of the mainstream media because they don't see a big, juicy, scandalous story or something to grab onto. But it's an evolution rather than a revolution. It may not be making headlines, but for people like me, and I'm sure you, too, who've been watching these things carefully, I think it's been a very impressive, slow but certain entry into our culture of these more holistic and ecological ideas. I remember when we were in the north of Scotland in the 70s, we were into solar panels and organic agriculture and windmills and renewable energy. And, of course, we're all finally starting to move in that direction because of the global warming threat. So I feel encouraged, actually. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a slow process, but we have to keep at it. And I think there's lots of great grounds for optimism.
Mm-hmm. I remember I went to Penn State. This had to be 30 years ago. They were looking for, I think it was a graduate program director, but I'm not sure. And so I went just to see what they had to offer. And I asked them if they had meditation groups in the area. And they looked at me like I had three heads.
Right.
And they finally dug up one person.
Yeah, you don't have to be old to recall the days when all of this holistic stuff was considered totally fringe and absurd and illusory and counterculture, etc. And look how far we've come since then.
Right.
Good reasons for hope.
Oh, yeah, right. I see a lot of this on a lot of the spiritual concepts, at least, on Facebook, and maybe it's because those are the people I attract, I don't know. But I think that the internet has done a lot to bring this whole movement forward.
Yes, well, you know, certainly people can access information now in unprecedented ways. And so it's all out there, and it's just at a click of a few clicks on your computer to be able to get as much information about holistic health and so on, or any other holistic approaches to living. So I'm sure, even for people living in remote, you know, fairly remote rural areas away from big centers of learning like the Open Center, I think, you know, everybody has the capacity now to access this material, and there's no doubt about the growing interest.
Now, Ralph, you also described the global network of holistic centers.
Yes.
Can you tell us about this?
You know, I mentioned some of them already, the ones I've personally been involved with, the Findhorn Foundation in Northern Scotland, Omega Institute upstate, the New York Open Center in Manhattan. But actually, there's a whole worldwide network of these centers, and we come together once a year. We're going to be meeting up in Quebec City, actually, with a new center called Le Monastère des Augustines that just started last year. Built on the site of North America's, well, actually, it's in the very building of North America's oldest monastery that was built in the 17th century by some French nuns and is now being turned into a museum, accommodation, and with this whole holistic learning component to it as well. So that's just an example. Yes, there are centers all over the world, in South America, all in Europe, in various parts of Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Japan. It's a worldwide movement here, and when we come together, it's clear that even though there is no central organizer, this is not a corporate thing, all these centers are emerging entirely independently. They're autonomous, creative initiatives out of people's the draw in people's own hearts and minds towards creating this more holistic alternative and creating these centers of learning that are outside the mainstream education. And yet when we meet in person, even though we're all different and often in different countries, we recognize that we're all facets of that same diamond of consciousness, that we're all part of the greater work of trying to move the planet in that healthier direction, more meaningful direction. And so we meet in a spirit of transparency, conviviality, openness. We want to share and support each other. We don't want to fall victim to the usual competitive ethic that is so strong in America. We want to be there to support each other. We want to be a cooperative rather than competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very moving experience. You know, people have all talked about, an emerging new consciousness on a planetary level for years. And it can remain something of an abstraction or a hope or a vision. But when all these centers meet from all over the world, I'm including Russia here, and, the former Soviet Union has certainly emerging mm-hmm. centers there too. When we meet, it's just a very heartening and inspiring experience. And it takes that whole idea of a planetary or a global shift in awareness, it makes it real, because these are genuine, real human beings dealing with the same mm-hmm. issues of bringing their programs to the public and marketing them and getting them people to come. So we're there to support each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it's practical proof, if you like,
mm-hmm.
that there is genuinely a shift going on a global level right now.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes the media does a disservice because they have their own things they want to talk about, and it's not necessarily as it used to be. It's more opinion, and it's more what they want to talk about and less about what the real facts
are.
Yeah,
I think that there's a lot of truth to that. People in this movement are not going to be yelling and shouting at each
mm-mm,
other
mm-mm.
and causing headlines and creating scandals.
Right.
Well, there used to be scandals around various gurus and so on, but that was a feature more of the 70s or early 80s. So this is a group of conscious, intelligent, heart-centered
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
people really trying to work for the common good. It's not the kind of thing that draws big, sensational headlines that sells newspapers or website subscriptions,
right.
wherever
right.
it is. So it doesn't necessarily attract that. It's only when the studies start coming in about the value of mindfulness meditation practice to calm down school children and help them focus. That's research that's happening in the UK right now. Or when the New Yorker writes about the extraordinary proliferation of the Rudolf Steiner-inspired Waldorf schools
mm-hmm.
all over China right now, literally hundreds of them opening every year now because parents there are desperate for an approach to education that isn't just based on memorization and competition. This is producing huge rates of suicide
mm-hmm.
in places like China among teenagers, and there must be a more holistic alternative. And as Waldorf education is focused on developing the head, the heart, and the hands, the creativity and autonomy of the child. So I think that there are good stories here, and
mm-hmm.
Some creative magazines are starting to see what's exciting and interesting there. So I hope that people will begin to realize that it's the renewal of our culture that we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big story, but it's one, if your nose is just in the grindstone of day-to-day media issues, people don't step back enough to have the perspective that would show them that there is an important story happening
mm-hmm.
here.
Well, the reason that I, brought up the comment is that I think the whole field of health, where a lot of the alternative natural things and diet and all of that are really more healthy than the drugs, and the media, puts the drugs forward, the same as in the political area. I think
right.
Bernie Sanders, as an example, is a very humanitarian person who is looking out for the middle and the lower class, and he is not receiving much media coverage, or not as much as his opponent.
It tells us a lot, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
Bernie Sanders
right.
offering a really humanitarian
right.
view of the future and a profound and coherent critique of what's wrong with American
mm-hmm.
society and economics right now. And he's getting almost no attention,
mm-hmm.
whereas a big loudmouth
mm-hmm.
like Donald Trump has just been vacuuming up all the media attention because he's a reality TV star and he knows how to make headlines.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully we will see, a gradual movement
mm-hmm.
towards more serious, in-depth coverage of this profound critique,
mm-hmm.
the fact that you college students are graduating with enormous debts right now, and you know, the absurdity of denying the reality of global warming, mm-hmm. as so many candidates do. I mean, this is serious. I just saw the results today. The science reports that February of this just passed is the warmest February far and away in human history.
Yep.
And it's a really disturbing indicator of just how fast we're moving towards that point where global temperatures rise by 2 degrees Celsius, and that is, as all the computer models show, is a major marker of really serious environmental troubles. So, yeah, I agree with you on all of this.
Now, Ralph, is there anything else you'd like to say before we look at your books and services and how the listeners can reach you?
Yes, I would like to just mention that, you know, something I've been doing for the last 20, 21 years now is a series of conferences on the Western esoteric tradition. And we've got one coming up in at the end of August. It's going to be called An Esoteric Quest for the Mysteries of the North in Iceland. And so that's been something really deeply moving to me. It's there's a chapter in the book on it. It's called Rediscovering the Lost Spiritual History of the West. You know, I'm all in favor of yoga and Buddhism and so on. But I also think we need to balance that out with an awareness of our own Western spiritual traditions that might be a little outside conventional religion, but it's an important part of our cultural history. So I think if people are any potentially interested, if you go to the website esotericquest.org, or if you're in the New York area and you're not familiar with the Open Center, just check out opencenter.org. But the conference in Iceland will be at the former, and then the overall programs in the city there at the Open Center.
Do you want to say anything more about your book?
Yes, and I would, yes, with our listeners. I would like to really draw our listeners' attention to the book I just published. It's called The Jeweled Highway, On the Quest for a Life of Meaning. You can find out more about me at my personal website, Ralph White, like the color, ralphwhite.net. And it's easy to find out more about the book just by Google, you know, going into the Amazon website or the publisher, Divine Arts Media. And it's perfectly possible to get the book there. It's been very well received. You can read reviews on the Amazon site. And I hope that people will be interested in, because it tells the story. It's the story of somebody, I think it's, I hope it doesn't sound inflated, but I think I've been something of a pioneer in the so-called consciousness movement. And so it tells the inside story of what it's been like, as I was saying, my own personal quest for meaning and deeper spirituality, then the work of bringing all of this into the world. What's it been like to be at the heart of this whole holistic consciousness movement for the last 40 years? And then the latter part of the book, my the actual Jeweled Highway itself, my own personal spiritual path. So I think it'll, I'm very pleased at the way it's being received, and I hope our listeners would enjoy it.
I hope one of my reviewers didn't get at it. She gave me a one, and her comment was, I didn't like this book on lung cancer because it reminded me of my husband who died. That was her review.
Hopefully, so far I've had a lot more positive reviews than that.
Do you have services or products of any sort?
Well, just really, you know, it's just the work of the Open Center at opencenter.org. It's my own. I do lecture and write. I just came back from speaking in the Caribbean at a retreat center down there on all these kinds of topics, you know, the quest for the mysteries of experience, spiritual experience. I speak and lecture, and of course I write on many things, so people can find out about that at my website, ralphwhite.org. But mainly, I just the work of the ongoing work at the Open Center in Manhattan, and these Esoteric Quest conferences. And then for people who may be interested in the whole field of dying, which is something I and the Open Center have given a lot of attention to, we've done a 20-year series of conferences there called The Art of Dying, too, which is all about bringing more holistic approaches to that most profound of all experiences, and there's a lot that's happening there in terms of the transformation in our culture. So people might like to check out the website artofdying.org, which has information about prior conferences, and we'll be doing another big one in New York City next year in 2017. So, yeah, I think those are the things I really wanted to draw people's attention to.
I think Kubler-Ross died recently, didn't she?
Sorry, could you say that again?
I think Kubler-Ross died recently. The one
she did. She has died, but what a wonderful pioneer she was.
Right.
And, you know, she has opened up so many creative areas in the dying field, whether it's working with doulas for the dying. You know, we think of doulas for birthing and for midwives, but now there's a whole training in doulas for the dying so that people can be there for the vigil, the final hours. And it's all about returning a sense of the sacred to the experience of dying. It's been so medicalized in our culture, with so many people dying in emergency rooms, intensive care, with all kinds of tubes, and et cetera, instead of, insofar as it's feasible, dying peacefully with those they love, and having, as much as possible, having made peace with life, but returning a sense of the sacred to that experience. I think that's the heart of the matter.
Right. Well, I thank you very much, Ralph. This has been very interesting, and I know
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you. My second guest, Dr. Vladimir Gushinsky, has been in private practice at his Millburn, New Jersey office for over a decade, providing exceptional holistic and biological dentistry and surgical expertise in a friendly, home-like environment. Dr. Gushinsky earned his doctorate from New York University College of Dentistry, after which he became their clinical faculty leader and in a four-year period trained graduate students to become proficient in dentistry. He is also proud to be an accredited member of the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology and certified in ozone dentistry through the ACIMD and is now pursuing his naturopathic medicine degree. With extensive training in homeopathy and nutrition, Dr. Gushinsky spends countless hours doing continuing education with like-minded practitioners to keep up with new medicine and technical developments in his field, while he is bringing to his practice to help his patients achieve a better holistic dental care. Dr. Gushinsky has the distinction of having won the Eugene Rothschild Memorial Award from the New York Academy of Oral Rehabilitation. More information is available at www.holisticdentalcenternewjersey.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Gushinsky, and I look forward to hearing about biological holistic dentistry. Now first, what is biological holistic dentistry, and how is that different from conventional dentistry?
Biological holistic dentistry, it's the same dentistry with an absolutely different approach. Because traditional dentistry concentrates on the teeth, gums, surrounding structures, and this is their main concern. In biologic dentistry, we're concerned about the teeth, gums, and surrounding structure, but with a different approach. How the treatment going to improve the patient's entire health? That's why we call ourselves holistic or biological dentist. Because main thinking in holistic biological dentistry, how to improve patient immune system, how to improve the patient's whole entire health through the dentistry. We're using different materials, we're using different approaches, we're using different supplements, we use different technology, we're using a lot of different things, even though they're working on the same area, and we're trying to improve something with the patient's mouth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But approach is different and technology is different.
Mm-hmm. Good. And what services then do you provide to patients?
Oh, our office provides all services to the patient. Whatever services they need, we provide. We don't do only braces because I refuse to work with the metal.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else we do in our office,
mm-hmm.
from easy cleaning to the advanced surgeries, building the bone, you know, the fixing the gums. We're doing a lot of different services.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Something about more specific, I can talk to you for a very long time.
Do you remove the amalgam? Do you know the mercury in the teeth?
Yeah, we are removing amalgam fillings.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the main reason why patients coming to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because amalgam contains 50% of mercury, and patients really concerned what's going to happen with this mercury.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to inhale. They don't want to fly all around the mouth. They don't want to digest it. They don't want to have any problems with during the amalgam removal.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the main service we provide.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trained by International Academy of Oral Medicine Toxicology, and I'm certified by this academy.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all necessary equipment to protect patients from inhaling mercury vapor, from swallow pieces of silver fillings, just to protect him from A to Z.
Mm-hmm.
Everything what academy recommends, we do it, we provide it, and for us, it's important that we know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Patient might come here and they don't know anything about mercury. We just do the same protection for everyone. It's a standard protocol in our office. Very prepared, very working out, and just protect patients 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we can do. Because we are just humans and we have a technology, and this is what technology allows, we just protect completely.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think everyone should have those fillings removed or just people that are having problems?
You know, it depends on the person. If
mm-hmm.
immune system is not strong, if they have any chronic diseases, I always recommend my patient remove the silver fillings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If somebody has a concern in their mind, and this is very important for us mind, because the patient doesn't have to keep anything behind their back and think about something. You know, if they worry about, just need to be removed. Because
mm-hmm.
worry doesn't help to be healthier and happier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, there are only a certain number of doctors that can remove these fillings safely, isn't that right?
Yeah, you know that International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, just a little bit more than 800 members.
Mm-hmm.
Holistic Dental Association, a little bit more than 300 dentists.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that another organization, International Academy for Biological Dentistry and Medicine, this is something about 200 members.
Oh.
And
mm-hmm.
if you look at this, it's not entirely all together, because I'm a member of all three organizations,
mm-hmm.
because I want to help the same-minded professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I belong to all organizations. And that's why, you know, that it might be this, like 1,000 dentists in the United States who train to do these type of services.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if a dentist start to be trained for those services, they also have to have an equipment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a certain equipment, and it needs to be invested and everything else. They need to train staff. You know, if somebody want to remove silver fillings properly, they need to find a dentist who is qualified for this
right,
job.
Right,
because everybody can drill the silver filling.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have concerns and you have a problem with your immune system and you might have a predisposition to the mercury or allergic reaction to the mercury, you have to really find somebody who knows what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And how do you do that? How do you find the right person to remove these fillings?
You have to really start looking, because you know that office is supposed to be mercury-free. Basically,
mm-hmm.
they don't place a silver filling. On the other side, they're removing silver fillings. It's kind of strange.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the office needs to be mercury safe.
Mm-hmm.
This is, do they have a protocol in place? Is it really protocol that approved by one of the three organizations?
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody developed the protocol to protect patients to the best ability of today's technology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because if you have like a multiple layers of protection and you just keep one or two, you don't do the 100% of protection that the technology allows us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is precautions.
Mm-hmm.
Do they give you any supplements before removal of the silver fillings?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And very important thing, how they provide you with opportunity to have biocompatibility material tested?
Mm-hmm.
Because then you remove the silver filling, you need to put something back. And it's very important for the patient if they have immune compromise condition or, you know, allergic reaction, to know that material, specific dental material, biocompatible to their body.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's not, it might create allergic reactions.
What kind of symptoms would a person have if the fillings are creating a problem? Is it generalized or is it localized in the mouth? Or
Main thing, it's a generalized, and patient might feel tired,
mm-hmm.
and might feel just exhausted, might feel like some kind of neurological problem because it's a mercury, neurotoxic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's affecting neurological system. You know that any chronic conditions you have to consider, it might be mercury involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know that it doesn't matter what kind of chronic condition, this is immune system compromised, and mercury might be involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
And the localized, you know, the discolored gums around those silver fillings, it's a lot of things that just might happen in the mouth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are root canals also problematic?
Root canals, it's on x-ray, you know, dental x-ray, look like, you know, maybe an inch long.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, inside of the teeth, it's almost 3 miles channels, micro channels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost impossible to sterilize in the mouth. I will tell you even more, it's just impossible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If my patient come in here and they need the root canal, and the immune system is strong, we will involve much more than traditional dental office. We'll involve the lasers. We'll involve the ozone.
Mm-hmm.
Ozone to sterilize the tooth for the best ability the technology allows us.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we do. But, you mm-hmm. know, if a patient immune system is not good, we'll talk about alternative way, maybe removal of the tooth. And we have to really sit down and talk with the patient one-to-one and just talking about the medical conditions, predispositions, what's going on, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. a complicated issue. Root canals mm-hmm. is a complicated issue in holistic dentistry.
Mm-hmm. Is there a connection between the mercury teeth and root canals and cancer?
There is a belief that in holistic medicine,
mm-hmm.
there is a big statement in holistic medicine that you may find 80% of the patient's medical problem in the patient's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
80%, it's a lot.
That's a lot, right.
It's a lot. You know that if you look in the big clinics, you know, that are helping patients in holistic way to deal with any degenerative diseases like cancer, you know, the first they're going to see the doctor, and the second they're going to see the dentist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And until anything else cleaning the mouth isn't going to do too much of the work.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they really believe that there is connection between the oral condition and the entire immune system response.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to clean or heal anything in a holistic way, you need to improve immune system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When we're treating the patient, we always look at the immune system. You know that we have like a level of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just eliminate infection in the gum. As soon as you eliminate infection in the gum, immune system gets better
mm-hmm.
because infection is gone.
Mm-hmm.
If it's infection in the bone, we have to eliminate the immune system, just don't have this burden. If patient has, for example, silver fillings, it's also tiny, tiny amount of a mercury leaking.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody, it's nothing, but somebody who can't deal with this, it's a lot. And after we're removing this silver filling, patient mouth feels a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. I just have a patient, just she's almost 70 years old. I removed the silver filling from her mouth. She said that I have an energy like I'm 20 years younger. It's just two silver fillings in her mouth, but this is how she feels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is important because she's a person.
Right.
And she feels better. She feels 20 years younger. Come on, you know, I cannot get better compliment in my life.
No, you can't. Mm-mm.
Yeah. You know that it's important. You know that sometimes you have a patient who just forced here by his wife. And you know that I remove silver fillings one after another, and after that I remove the last three silver fillings. He came back in the week, told me, I don't know what happened. I sit in my car and I see the life around me different way. I see mm-hmm. the colors. I can hear everything. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's not everyone, but some people, and it make me just doing more and more for them.
Right, right, right. Can you give us some other little stories about people that have had their fillings and what they were before and what they were like after?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of stories, you know, that they feel energy back.
Mm-hmm.
I have a patient who just come back and ask you, you know, sometimes they don't say anything. You have to really ask questions. And you ask patient, how do you feel? And this lady look at me and told me, you know, that she can read two pages, understand those two pages,
mm-hmm.
and remember those two pages, and that she could not do it for the past 10 years.
Oh.
It's huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and she start crying, and you know, there's a tear in her eyes, and you know, that it's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for everyone. Because, mm-hmm. you know, the level of toxicity around us is just different, and patients, you know, that they feel different. And some, they have this different predisposition, how they feel the effects of mercury.
Mm-hmm.
It might be genetic, you know, that it's something that we really need to just go investigate much more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that any time the patients have a concerns, I'm going to definitely remove silver fillings with the safest possible way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to push for this because this is a personal thing.
Right.
I will send them to educate themselves, go to internet, just read more, educate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, then they're ready, you know, I'm going to provide the treatment.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Is there anything else then, Dr. Kaczynski, that you would like to say before we look at services, products, or books that you have?
You know, that the sometimes, you know, that patient coming in and you're just going around and around and around and nobody can help them.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, it might be allergic reaction to material in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be the metal crowns, it might be the metal pins inside, and then removing those ones as the conditions improve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a big one.
Right, right. Then, do you have products or books, or do you want to tell us more about your services and how the clients can locate you?
I have a lot of videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Clients may take a look on YouTube and look at this on the YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know that I have extensive website. Okay, that a patient may find me, Holistic Dental Center in Millburn, New Jersey, or Dr. Vladimir Kaczynski. You know, that this is a lot of information on my website,
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This is information about everything and anything. You know, from the teeth meridian, connection between the specific tooth, infection to the certain organs. And this is not new information. It's information 5,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
If patients want to go on YouTube, you can go on YouTube, Dr. Vladimir Kaczynski, Holistic Dental Center, NewJersey.com, and they can just look on those YouTube videos. They're very, very educational. They're not long. They're 2-3 minutes long, and I'm talking about different topics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that mercury removal, gum disease treatment, restoration of receding gums. I have testimonials on these YouTube channels.
Mm-hmm.
Testimonials are unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is real people. This is my real patient, and they're talking about how this holistic dentistry improved their lives.
Well, this is really great, and I'm happy to have a name of someone that does remove the fillings and all, because occasionally I do get, you know, people asking about who does this, and I didn't have names before. So It's really great to have a name, and you're so centrally located. I mean, for the East Coast, New Jersey is now, you're open, what, Monday to Fridays?
Yeah, we're working a lot of Saturdays.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And to my big surprise, you know, people are coming from all over. My people are just driving from Washington, D.C., and I fly from California.
Right.
Even though there are a lot of holistic dentists around, sometimes, you know, they find me on the Internet, they find me on different, you know, that Internet vehicles, and they talk to their friends, and they come in.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I get surprised. I have a patient just a year ago. She came from London, and she wanted mercury filling removed. She had a friend here in New Jersey area. She stayed with them for 10 days, and they did all work for her.
Great. Good. Yeah, it's good to hear that. So I thank you very, very much, and I'll be in touch with you before this is broadcast. It should be, I'd say, probably in the next 2 weeks, maybe a month, I'll have this
Wonderful.
On. Yeah.
I'm going on vacation on 26th.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to speak before 26th, it's going to be great. If not, I'm going to be back on the 12th of September.
Great. Good. Well, I thank you again. It's been interesting, and I know it will be helpful to a lot of people, because there is a lot of concern about, especially the fillings. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can talk about it hours, because holistic dentistry is my passion.
Great. Good. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on your channel.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Carl Helvey. On my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/ Holistic Health Show, and the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O'Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.